will and just what God's going to do with him. Come preach to us, brother.
Thank you, Pastor. Jonah chapter 4 in your Bibles. Jonah chapter 4. I was talking to Pastor the other day about when he was at my home church there for his internship, and I told him that I had one memory of him. I didn't tell him what that memory was. It's a good memory, don't worry. But actually, he had a great big rubber kickball. It was about this big, and he had used it for one of the teen activities there. And I think after church, we were playing with that ball with some of our friends. And I remember specifically that one of us kicked it into the flagpole and popped that great big rubber ball that Pastor Godfrey had there. And we were thinking, oh no, he's going to kill us. This is going to be awful when he finds out. How are we going to tell him? And then he came around the corner and we told him. And he said, oh, it's all right. No problem at all. And we were so relieved. And that's the one memory I have of your pastor from back then. So it's a good memory. Well, I won't be long tonight, I promise. I tell people I've always been a short preacher, so. Jonah chapter 4. We'll begin reading in verse 9. It says, "And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" Tonight, with the Lord's help, I'd like to preach a message entitled, "Where is Your Focus?" Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this evening, this opportunity to open your word with these people. Thank you for the fellowship that we've had already. I pray that you would help us to learn much about you tonight. I pray that you'd give me the words to say. Help me not to say anything that I shouldn't. And we love you and ask this all in your name. Amen. Years ago, Susanna's grandfather was a missionary in Liberia, where the Birchwells are going to. And he was a pilot. He was a bush pilot. And he had at one point, he was teaching an aviation seminar to a group of African men. And as he was teaching that seminar, he recounted the story of a pilot who went to a particular village, and his mission at that, this particular pilot's mission was to deliver a helicopter load of rice to this village. So the pilot flew the helicopter there and landed on the platform that was ready for him. And when he got there, he was supposed to wait for help to unload those bags of rice from that helicopter. And he got there and he waited a little bit, but he decided he didn't want to wait any longer, so he starts unloading those bags of rice from the helicopter. And at some point, he unloaded enough bags of rice from one side of the helicopter that the other side outweighed the side he was unloading it from. And the entire platform tipped over and crashed right there. So as Susanna's grandfather was telling this story at this seminar, the African men who were there, the Liberians who were there, were on the edge of their seat. They were listening with rapt attention. And he finished the story, and he said, "So what can we learn from this?" And one of the men, they're all very quiet, and one of them raised his hand. He said, "So what happened to the rice?" This man was focused on the wrong thing. You know, sometimes we go through life like that. We are focused on the wrong thing. And as we look through the book of Jonah here, we're going to see that Jonah was focused on the wrong thing. He was focused on his desire for revenge and his bitterness towards the Ninevites, but God was focused on saving them. I'm not going to take time to read through the entire book of Jonah tonight, but that would, of course, if I did that, that would ruin my short preacher joke. But we're just going to do a kind of an overview of the book of Jonah, and we're going to see that Jonah was focused on the wrong thing. You know, there are all kinds of things in this world that would take our focus off of what God wants to do through us. But if you get nothing else from this message tonight, I'd like us to understand that we must get our focus off of ourselves to see the souls that God wants to save. As we look through this book of Jonah, we're going to see three reasons why Jonah's focus was not where it should have been. Number one, we're going to see that Jonah was focused on the wrong thing because Jonah was bitter. Let's turn back to chapter 1 of Jonah. We're going to read here verses 1 through 3. Verse 1 says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." We see here that bitterness kept Jonah from doing what God wanted him to do. And bitterness keeps us today from seeing the importance of what God wants to do through us. I'm sure some of you had heard that bitterness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. That's very true. One author I read said that there's no such thing as a bitter person who keeps the bitterness to himself. God wanted to save these Ninevites. He wanted to use Jonah to do it, but all Jonah could see was his bitterness. He hated the Ninevites so much that he'd rather run from God than to see them saved. You might say, well, why did Jonah hate the Ninevites? Why would he do that? Why did he want to see them destroyed? Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire at that time, was the largest city in the world for about 50 years. And the Assyrians did awful things to the Israelites that they captured. They mastered the art of torture, and they advertised that as their brutality as part of their psychological warfare. So it's very likely that Jonah had friends and close friends and family members who had been affected by this. And so from a human standpoint, we'd say, yeah, Jonah had reason to be angry. Jonah had reason to be bitter as his people suffered these things. But Jesus said in Mark chapter 5 and verse 44, he said, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." In light of God's forgiveness to us, and what he's done for us through salvation, we really don't have any right to be bitter at other people. And often, like Jonah, we get angry at lost people. We get angry at people who do us wrong instead of loving them. As Christians, we need to stop being offended, really, when lost people act like lost people. You know, sometimes somebody will cut us off in traffic, or maybe somebody says something mean to you, and we say, man, what a jerk. How could they do that? Why did they do that? Because they're a lost person. And lost people act like lost people. And we must show them love if we're going to reach them. We could read on here. I'm not going to take time to read everything, but if we read on the rest of chapter 1, we would see how Jonah boarded this ship toward Tarshish, and a great storm came up. You remember the story. These men were tossed by these waves, and they were crying out and saying, what are we going to do? We're going to drown. They go and find Jonah, and Jonah says, I'm the reason that you guys are about to drown, and the only way to solve this is to throw me into those waves, and God will calm the storm if you do that. Let's pick it up here in verse 14 of chapter 1. It says, "Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights." We see here that God gave Jonah a second chance. He prepared this fish essentially to save Jonah's life, because Jonah would have drowned in that water. Aren't you glad that God gives us second chances? I'm so thankful for that. If God didn't give me second chances and third chances and fourth chances, I don't know where I'd be today. I certainly wouldn't be serving him. But as we could read on here in chapter 2 and see how Jonah cried out to God in the fish's belly there. Let's go on to chapter 3 and verse 1. God gives Jonah this second chance to reach the Ninevites. Verse 1 says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, Go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah rose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. So Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Now it's interesting here, if we would look at verse 3, go back there just a second, it says, Jonah rose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Jonah went according to the word of the Lord. Jonah had no gushy feelings for the Ninevites. He didn't have this overwhelming passion because he just loved the people of Nineveh so much. And he didn't watch videos of these poor Ninevite children and feel his heartstrings pulled towards the Ninevites. He had none of that. Jonah went because of the word of the Lord. Now, granted, Jonah had a bad attitude about it. He was a little bit of a stinker as he was going. But Jonah went because of the word of the Lord. We realize that as we go to the Ivory Coast, there are going to be times when we do not love the people like we should. Our love for those people, that's going to fail sometimes. Those people sometimes will do us wrong, lie to us, already have, actually. That's already happened. And you know what? There are times when you do not have these feelings of compassion towards the people that God calls you to. So how do you go then? Why do you go then? Because of the word of the Lord. I could show you pictures of poor African children and people starving in Africa and this great need because there are tons of them. There are those people there. But you know what? The main reason that we go to the Ivory Coast is not the need. The need is not the driving factor. The need is there. We've got to see the need, but that is not the driving factor of why we go to the Ivory Coast. We go to the Ivory Coast because of the word of the Lord. I like to think of it this way. If you think of it with me, Jesus said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he may send forth laborers into his field. The Lord of the harvest. Jesus is the one that appoints us to different places in his harvest. For a few years during my college experience and then a couple years afterwards, I worked at a custom cabinet shop in Lattimore, North Carolina. Brother Kyle also worked at that place for a little bit. And, you know, when I came in there in the morning, I would come in there and we had a foreman on the job. And I didn't go up to that foreman and say, Hey, Chris, I need to go over here. I think this is where you want me to work today. I think that's where I'd be most effective. No, that's not how it works. You go in there and the foreman says, I want you over here today because this we need to accomplish this today. And you say, yes, sir, and you go and do it. In much the same way, God is the Lord of the harvest. Amen. If God says, go to the Ivory Coast, you say, yes, sir, and you go. If God says, go to Liberia, go to Zambia, go to Kyrgyzstan, you say, yes, sir, and you go. If God tells you to go across the street and witness to your neighbor, you say, yes, sir, and you go. If God wants you to witness to your coworker or your family member, say yes, sir, and you go. Why? Because he is the Lord of the harvest. And we go according to the word of the Lord. Let's continue on here. And I see that in chapter 3, the miracle here is that the people of Nineveh believed Jonah. Look here in verse 5, it says, So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. The miracle here is that these people believed Jonah. And what I get from this is that God can use your message, even if you think that you're not adequate, even if you think you're not good at speaking to people, telling others about the gospel, God can use you. During our year in the Ivory Coast, God answered a very specific prayer request for me. I began praying as soon as we got there that God would allow my French to progress to the point that I could lead someone to the Lord in French, and that he would grant me that opportunity to do that. One day, about 4 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks before we left the country, I was preaching in my father-in-law's church plant out in the village, and there was a visitor that came in. And after the message, one of my friends that was in that church, his name was Didier. Didier came up to me and he said, "Matthew, you should go talk to this man. He's not saved." So I went outside the church and talked with this man, this visitor. His name was Romero. And I began talking with him, and Romero said, "I'm ready to get saved right now. I'm ready to trust Christ." And I said, "Okay, well, let me explain it again just to be sure." As Kyle was saying earlier, you have to be extremely careful that they understand what they're doing. So I explained it again, and I think I explained it 3 or 4 times. And every time Romero said, "Yes, I'm ready to get saved right now." And I thought, you know, I'm not going to stand in the way of a good thing if he really is ready. And Romero bowed his head and accepted Christ, prayed his own prayer, accepted Christ right then and there. And that was an incredible answer to prayer. I say that to say this. I did not feel adequate in that situation to do that. I thought, my friend Didier there is a native speaker. Why doesn't he go lead him to the Lord? But God gave me that opportunity, and God was able to use me in spite of myself. Listen, if God can use Jonah, a prophet who did not want the people he was witnessing to get saved, how much more can he use you if you're yielded to him? God can use your message, even if you feel like you're not good at speaking. So, number one, Jonah's focus was on the wrong thing because he was bitter. Number two, because he wanted revenge. Look here in chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. It says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, 'I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live.'" Jonah said, "God, I just knew it. I knew it. If you sent me to these people, I just knew you were going to have mercy on them and you were going to save them. Bummer." That was Jonah's attitude. Jonah wanted revenge on these Ninevites. He wanted to see justice brought to them. Yes, it would have been fair, would have been just, if God had destroyed the Ninevites for their wickedness. But I'm glad that God does not go by our view of what is just and fair. Like Jonah, we love revenge. It's human nature, right? I read this story about a soldier who was fighting over in Iraq. He received a letter from his girlfriend that said she was breaking up with him. She also asked him to send the picture that she had given him when he left because she needed it for her bridal announcement. The soldier was heartbroken. He told his friends about his terrible situation. So his whole platoon got together and brought all of their pictures of their girlfriends and put them in a box and gave them to him. So he put her picture in the box along with the rest with a note that said, "I'm sending back your picture to you. Please remove it and send back the rest. For the life of me, I can't remember which one you are." You know, we love that, right? We love revenge. It's human nature. Often, like Jonah, we love revenge. We're all about revenge, getting revenge on those who do us wrong, and making sure that someone is brought to justice when we've been wronged. But instead of getting excited when we see other people suffer for their sin and for their wrongdoing, how about getting excited when God wants to show them mercy instead? One commentator I read said this: "It is possible to serve the Lord and yet not love the people. How unlike Jesus Christ he is in this chapter. For Jesus looked upon a city of lost souls and wept. And we see this in Luke chapter 19. Jesus, it says that, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. The world today wants love without truth. And oftentimes, as Christians, we want to give the truth without love. You can't do that. If we're not careful, we're like Jonah, and we can try to give the gospel without love, just like Jonah did. So Jonah was focused on the wrong thing because he was bitter, number one. Number two, Jonah wanted revenge. And number three, because Jonah was focused on himself. We're going to see this here in verse 4, on down through verse 11 of chapter 4. Jonah 4 and verse 4, it says, "Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted, and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live." Those are pretty strong words. Verse 9, "And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd." That word, had pity, that's the idea of he cared for the gourd. "For the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" There are four main miracles that I see in the book of Jonah. You could possibly point to others, but four main ones that I see. Number one is the storm that God calmed when Jonah was thrown overboard. And then we have the fish that God sent to swallow up Jonah and then spit him back out on dry land. That's not natural, okay? And then number two, the whole city that repented because of Jonah's message, that Jonah went there and they repented. And then number four is this gourd that we see here that God miraculously made come up in a night and perished. It says came up in a day and perished in a day. These are miracles that happened right in front of Jonah's nose.
That's right.
Yet Jonah remained focused on himself the entire time. Jonah got sidetracked by these things such as the gourd, a pleasure in life. H.A. Ironside one time was sitting at a restaurant, and he bowed his head to give thanks for his food. When a man nearby asked him what he was doing, he replied that he was thanking God for his food. The man said, "Oh, you're one of those, are you? Well, I want you to know that I never give thanks. I earn my money by the sweat of my brow, and I don't have to give thanks to anybody when I eat. I just start right on in." And Ironside said, "Oh yeah, you're just like my dog. That's what he does too." You know, when we have something like this in our life, like Jonah had this gourd, when we have a gourd in our life like this, something that we really love, we must realize that that came from God. James said, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Everything that we have comes from God. Job said in Job 1, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job acknowledged the right of God over everything in his life. His possessions, his health, his kids, his business, his future, everything. And how often do we say, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away," and then we follow it up with something like, "But how could God do this to me? Doesn't he know that I'm trying to serve him?" What if we could say with Job, "Blessed be the name of the Lord"? And this is very opposite to Jonah's response. Jonah was so angry that he just wished he could die because God wanted to save these Ninevites. Now, I believe that the whole idea of the book of Jonah is God trying to get Jonah to see the big picture. There are so many things we could draw from this book. You could preach an entire sermon series on the book of Jonah. But I believe God, in this book, was trying to get Jonah to see the big picture, get his focus off of himself, to see what God wanted to do through him, to see the city that God wanted to save. And so many times in our lives, we get so caught up in the little details. We get caught up in what we think should be happening, what we think God should be doing, and what we think our life should look like, that we forget what God wants to do through us. In this story, the focus is not on Jonah getting revenge on the Ninevites or seeing justice done. It's not even on Jonah's comfort or anything that happened there. The whole book of Jonah is God showing us that he has a much bigger picture in mind. Amen. Much bigger picture in mind. So just as I wrap this up this evening, I want to remind us this evening that we need to get our focus off of ourselves and focus on the souls that are before us. You say, okay, well, that's great, Matthew. So what? What does that matter to us today? Where's the rubber meet the road for us today? Where is your focus? When you're going through the mall, or, well, okay, going through Walmart today, or when you're at your job site, or whatever it might be, when you're walking down the sidewalk, are you buried in your phone? Or do you lift up your eyes and see the opportunities that are around you? You know, you can be in the place that God wants you to be. You can be in the country that God wants you to be, looking straight at the people that God wants you to reach and not see them. Where is your focus tonight? Think about how great God's forgiveness is to us. And in light of that, we can't get bent out of shape when people do us wrong like they did to Jonah. We can't get angry when God takes away our comforts. That's not what matters. What really matters is that there was a city out there that God wanted to use Jonah to save. And right now, there is a city, the city of Chesapeake, Virginia, out there that God wants to use you, this church, to save. Will you lift up your eyes, get your focus off of yourself to see those opportunities? Soon after we arrived in the Ivory Coast for that year, I was praying with our family there, and my mother-in-law was present, and I prayed for more opportunities to share the gospel. And after we were done praying, my mother-in-law said, "Matthew, that's ridiculous. There are more opportunities than we have time to take advantage of." And I said, okay, yeah, sure, and I kept praying for more opportunities. But by the time we left the Ivory Coast, I realized that was very true. The opportunities are everywhere. All we have to do is lift up our eyes and see those opportunities. It's no different in the United States. Those opportunities may come in some different forms. You know, in the Ivory Coast, you can walk down the street, you can see people cooking over their fires. You can see people out there washing laundry, people walking to the market, people walking through the market, and you can stop and have a conversation with them. And as Brother Kyle said earlier, you can stop and sometimes talk all day with them if you have time to or if you want to. And you can witness to them, you can share the gospel with them. And those opportunities are everywhere. Here in the United States, you may not meet people who are out doing their laundry on the sidewalk, right? You may not meet people who are cooking over a fire, but there are opportunities out there, and we come across them every single day. As we wrap up this evening, we need to get our focus off of ourselves, focus on what really matters, those souls that God wants to save. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe there's someone here this evening that God's been working on your heart as you've listened this evening. Maybe you realize that you've been going through this life surrounded by opportunities, but you don't see them. Maybe you've been focused on yourself. Maybe you just don't see those people that God wants you to reach. Would there be someone here tonight, you'd raise your hand and say, "Matthew, pray for me. I need to see those opportunities that are before me. I've been too focused on myself." Would there be someone here tonight that would say that? Very good. Maybe there's someone here tonight that would say, like Jonah, "I've been consumed by bitterness. And bitterness has affected my walk with God, my ability to share the gospel with other people." Why don't you come forward this evening, or maybe pray in your seat and get that right with God. Don't let that stand in the way of sharing the gospel with other people like it did with Jonah. Maybe there's someone here tonight that you'd say, I just don't have confidence to share the gospel with anyone. I don't see how God could use me. I'm not good at it. I want to just encourage you, if God could use Jonah, he can use you tonight. Whatever it is that the Lord has worked on your heart tonight, I'd encourage you to deal with it this evening and surrender that to the Lord. Pastor.
Father, I pray that you would work in our hearts now during this invitation. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would stand with me, heads bowed and eyes closed as the pianist plays. If God's spoken to your heart, I encourage you to come. If you're here this evening and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, tonight can be the night of salvation. It can be the night where you know your sins are forgiven. Would you come? If you're a lady, we'll have a lady take you by the hand and show you how you can know that your sins are forgiven. If you're a man, we'll have a man take you by the hand and take you to a private room and show you how you can know Jesus Christ is your Savior. We're so easily distracted in our world today. Jonah is one of the greatest missions books of the Old Testament, and yet, even in the story itself, we get distracted. We make a big deal about the waves. We talk about the whale. We talk about the weed that came up, the worm, the wind. We even talk about Jonah himself. I like to say he's the worst prophet of the whole Old Testament. But that whole book's not about any of that, really. That all is proving the one point that Brother Schrock brought up, and that's the work of God to save souls. God loves people. And he was offering to the Ninevites an opportunity to repent. What are we focusing on? What has God left us here for? Folks are praying. How about you? I read just this week about bitterness. Bitterness is the only assassin that can kill you every day for the rest of your life. And Satan knows how to use the weapon of bitterness in our lives to limit our witness for Jesus Christ. Take your hymnals, turn to page 474. Let's sing a verse and chorus of this hymn tonight. Take the world, but give me Jesus.
Take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name, but his love abideth ever through eternity. Same. Oh, the height and depth of mercy, oh, the length.